Hello everybody, and welcome to episode 247 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast for the day of Thursday, October 8th, 2015. I am your host, Mark Cugenez. And I got some games to talk about, a lot more anime this fall season. You know, it's funny, I said, a few weeks ago or so, I wasn't going to attempt to watch all the anime in this season. But you know what I've been trying to do? I've been trying to watch all the anime, and I've watched a good chunk, including shorts. I've definitely watched over a dozen shows, so still got some shows to catch up on, and some weird things I'll get into. I'll talk about this now, because this isn't specifically related to shows, but it's really weird to have just like the smallest smidgen of anime exclusive to Hulu. That's really weird. And Viz Media, I guess. I don't know if they have a streaming service on their site. I don't ever go there. But the fact that both One Man Punch and... Or One Punch Man, not One Man Punch. One Punch Man and... What is it? Chivalry... Some Chivalry Knight thing, which there's controversy and memes being thrown together because it's exactly like the Asterisk War, I think, is the one it's like. Having a few shows that are actually only available through Hulu is weird. It's pretty weird because I didn't even know One Punch Man actually came out. I was like, where is this coming out? I figured it was going to be on Funimation, but it wasn't there when I searched or anything, and I'm like, oh, I guess it just hasn't released yet. And then I heard people talking about it, and I'm like, what? Where are people watching this? Is everyone doing this illegally? They're even talking about this on IGN Anime Club. This is not right. They would not go through nefarious means to watch an anime. They specifically have stated that they wouldn't do such a thing, which is why they haven't watched or talked about Dragon Ball Z, whatever the new one's called. Because I still don't believe that's available anywhere legally in the States. It's kind of weird. At least now, if you pay a little bit more, you can get rid of commercials, so you don't have to deal with that when watching stuff on Hulu. Which then makes me wonder if Funimation is worth keeping, even though it's really cheap. I don't know if their catalogs are exactly one for one. But I was surprised when I was looking through the anime section of Hulu, there was a basically like explore section, and it said over 750 anime, which I was like, damn, Hulu, you got that much? You got that much? And I know a lot of it is older stuff, I think, but that's actually good, depending on, I don't know if there is a site out there that has like what's on what site, what's on this site and all that. Like, can I stream it? I don't know why they wouldn't do anime, but maybe they wouldn't have titles, all the names and stuff. That's the one thing I don't like about, Anacharts, which is that I don't think they actually list where you can watch the shows. Like, I like going there to find out what's coming out, what's going to be playing for a season. But I don't think they actually tell you where to go about watching any of the shows, which is really annoying. And they don't do that on my anime list either, which is annoying. I don't think they do, at least. If they do, someone tell me. But yeah, I've got a lot of anime. And so far, still relatively pleasantly surprised. But I'll be getting to that a little bit later. What I do want to talk about first is that the Star Wars Battlefront beta just came out for Xbox One. And it came out, I think, a few days ago for the PS4. And yeah, I really like this beta. When it works, when I'm able to actually get into a match. That's not always the easiest thing to do. But I did manage to get in a few games, as well as a single player match of the Horde mode they have. And that took place, the Horde mode is only on Tatooine, and then I think they have various multiplayer missions, one on Hoth, and then one on Sulisuri. I'm not sure the name of the planet. It was like more of a lava-esque planet. I just, I'm not the most well-versed in Star Wars lore because I'm not the biggest Star Wars fan. I loved KOTOR. I liked KOTOR 2 until I stopped playing it because I think maybe it might have been buggy, the emulation on 360. And then I really love Empire, and that's like it. I haven't dived into any of the animated series, which I really want to at some point. But yeah, I've also always loved the Battlefront series, so I was excited for this. And now I kind of want the game. But anyway, so first thing I did was play the survival mode because it was like, oh, single player, I can just get my feet wet, I can get used to the controls, I can just get a handle for everything. And that was fun. I cleared that on normal, no problem. It was a bit hectic playing solo when the AT walkers, I think that's what they're called, the bipedal ones, when they popped up at like the middle round and the final round, just because they're big and they're mean, and they seemed to be able to get anywhere I was, which is surprising. There was a point where I thought, I'm fine, I can just kind of relax right now and, come up with a plan to how to defeat this, because I was still getting used to the controls. I wasn't sure what I had other than my blaster. And then it came up and it was like right behind me. I'm like, what? How did you get up here? Are there some stairs or something? Like, what am I missing? But yeah, that was fun. I enjoyed it. It's very pretty too. I was surprised, not so much by how pretty it is. I guess the game is fairly close to launch, so you'd expect that, and this must be more of a finished beta that's it exists to test the servers, I'm assuming. Unlike the Rainbow Six beta, which is hot trash. Hot trash. This just makes the Rainbow Six beta look so much worse. But the hard mode was nice. It wasn't too hard, and you are limited to 6 rounds, I believe. Whereas in the final version, in the retail version, it goes up to 15 rounds, and there are more enemies that will attack in the waves. One of my favorite things in that particular mode was when the jetpack enemies showed up. Every time you kill them, they're like, even you don't have to hit their jetpack, but when you kill them, their jetpack goes awry and they just kind of like fly into something or other, or they just fly up into the air and explode. But my favorite part was when I hit them and they were like in a tunnel-esque area or in like a cavern, and they would fly right into the side of one of the walls after killing them. That was just like so satisfying. But yeah, that was fun. And the weird thing is, when I went in to play the multiplayer, I played the horde mode in first person. I looked at what it was like to play in third person. I was like, I'll just play in first person. I think I'll prefer this. And I did fine. Had no problems. Went into the multiplayer in first person, died twice right off the bat. I was like, this is not feel right. The aiming just, I don't know. I'm gonna try third person and see if that's better. Way, way better. I don't know what it is. If there wasn't any kind of like auto locking. I didn't feel like I was locking on enemies at all with third person, but it just felt like I had more control over my aiming, or if maybe there was some leniency in that, if I was just shooting in relatively the correct direction, it would actually hit the enemy. I'm not sure, but I did much, much better when I switched to third person. And that lies a problem in that every time I would respawn, one, respawning, no time. There's no delay. You can just press X. I'm playing on Xbox One, so just press the X button. It would be square button on PlayStation, and you're automatically back in the game. You don't have to wait. You can mess around with your loadout or crap like that, I guess. But if you just want to get right back in the action, you don't have to wait. There is no respawn time, respawn limit, or anything. The problem is, every time you die and respawn, it puts you back in a first person. And it's not that hard to hold down on the D-pad, which is how you change your view, to get back in a third person. But, I mean, say an enemy was right there and I don't think there's any kind of spawn safety net. Then you die right then and there. And that's not going to happen often, of course, but it's just a bit annoying that it's respawning me in the other view when it's like, okay, I've already said that I want to play the game in this view. Remember that. Please remember that. I hope that's fixed for the final version because that's just, it's not the biggest deal, of course, and I don't know how many people are even making note of that or complaining about it or even care. But I would like it a lot if I didn't have to deal with that. If it wasn't even something I had to remember to do, that would be much appreciated. I will also say I can see a huge problem with the game when it actually comes out for people who get the game even only a few weeks after it officially comes out because the ranking system for the online play and unlocking stuff. The main weapon you have to start off, your regular blaster, it's a fine, adequate weapon. What you don't have is any kind of secondary weapons or grenades or anything at all right off the bat. So that's kind of a problem, I think, at least, because grenades seem like the most general, simple thing to have. Like, why can't I have? Maybe allow me to unlock and carry more later on with higher ranks, but to not have anything, to just have my blaster and nothing else, no other weapon. I can't do anything else. I don't have a shield. I can't do diddly squat. And I see other enemies throwing grenades at me, laying down, I think mines, and all this other stuff. I'm like, well, I feel like I'm missing out because I don't have at least a somewhat decent array of weapons and whatnot to choose from. And you only do have a blaster right off the bat. You don't have access to a heavy machine gun or the sniper rifle and stuff like that. So I do think you're at a disadvantage if you're a new player playing with people who have played a bit. But yeah, we'll see how that goes when it officially comes out. If that's still a problem, or if they have sort of matchmaking set up so that you won't be matched with long-standing players. But yeah, that could be a problem. But I really enjoy that. I didn't play the other because there's Horde mode. There is a basic kind of like it's not deathmatch. It's what would it be? What would you call it? It's not King of the Hill. There are these nodes or whatever that are around the map. They'll pop up after you successfully defend one. Then you go to the next one, defend it, and whoever defends the most of them in the time limit wins. That's one mode. And then the other mode, which I haven't tried yet, because they even recommend leveling up before trying to play that mode, is an AT-AT mode where you're basically two teams fighting for control over one of the giant walkers, one of the giant AT-ATs. And yeah, that should be super fun because those things are ginormous and that might include the flying vehicles and stuff or vehicles in general that you can control. So, and the map might be a lot bigger than the ones in Horde mode and the regular objective mode. But yeah, so far I've really enjoyed Star Wars Battlefront. The only problem is, of course, the inability to get into a server at times, which was a pro it was a consistent problem at the time. So I would recommend if you try to get into a match and you fail for 5 minutes max, just take a break and come back later because there's probably something going on and it's going to be a while. Don't keep, you'll just get more and more annoyed if you keep trying to get in and failing. But yeah, it's available for everyone. You just go to the store section of Xbox and download it there. And I'm assuming that's the same on PS4. Other than that, I've gotten back into Metal Gear Solid 5 because of the patch, the wonderful, wonderful patch that now has it like increased the amount of resources you can store, the money you get to store. It's seemingly, I can only assume that it's because of the patch that I'm now finding S rank soldiers like all the time in my single player side ops and whatnot, free roam exploration, as well as S plus ranked ones, and maybe even some S plus plus. I'm not sure. I've had ones that are like so close to being S plus plus that they're kind of just bursting at S plus. So that's awesome. That's made me really want to keep playing. And I haven't messed with Metal Gear Online because I'm pretty sure you don't get anything out of that for your FOBs or any of your single player stuff. And then that means I really don't care. But the FOB invasions, the way they grade them, and even just seeing the way you're graded and all the stats and crap for that is a lot better. It's a lot nicer, a lot more detailed. They've added events finally. I always went by that event page and I'm like, why can't I do anything? They've increased the amount of defense you can add just slightly. Like you can add a few more decoys, a few more cameras and mines and stuff like that for your FOBs. You can now pay for insurance with MB coins, which I think it's like, it's not super expensive, but I don't really see the point. I feel like it's not really worth it. But at the same time, I don't really get attacked because my defense is at the highest it could possibly be for anyone. So anyone who would try to attack me or want to retaliate after I attack them would look at my base and be like, okay, if you want to attack my base, you're going to have to deal with S plus ranked soldiers in the highest quality gear, as many surveillance drones as I can with lethal means of attacking you, and mines and all this crap. If you want to mess with me, it ain't going to be easy. But yeah, I like the events because the events, one, they allow you to do the invasions if you want to without having to worry about being retaliated against, because you're playing against essentially a made up character, because there's a very minute story behind the events. But you are decently rewarded. You are, I think you get 5 or 4 soldiers for successfully infiltrating a certain base that range between A to S++. And I've never gotten an S++ ranked soldier. I've gotten S+ ranked one, so still none of that. And now that they're showing up in the single player campaign, I don't really feel like I have to play the event to get them. But that's been really, really fun. I'm kind of annoyed that the patch came out because it's made me want to stop playing everything else yet again and just play Metal Gear Solid 5. Also, I was super bummed when I didn't have the new dashboard after hearing Robert, tell me that the new dash somehow, maybe it's just because now the Xbox One with the new dash runs a lot faster, everything's smoother. It's okay. There are still some bugs in it that bother me. Like I can't look at achievements on my Xbox One. I have to now only, I can only do it through the Windows 10 app, which is annoying. And there are some things that I have to get used to interface wise and whatnot. But I feel like when it's all said and done and ready to go for everyone, it'll be a very nice change, even if it's just in the fact that it runs a lot smoother and faster. But with the new dash, the audio glitches in Metal Gear Solid 5 apparently ceased for people, or happened very, very like less often, like almost non-existent. And they've always been a problem for me because they happen at least once every half hour, if not once every 15, 10 minutes. And it got annoying and it got super frustrating because at times it would last for 15, 30 seconds where it would just like kind of keep glitching in and out. And it at times, very few times, it happened when I needed to be in full control and I got caught, or I didn't get caught. You don't get caught. I was just seen, and then that screwed up everything. but I have not had an audio glitch since upgrading the new dash. So that alone makes the new dash worth it. I don't care about Destiny, so any problems with playing Destiny or doing party chat with Destiny, don't care, because Destiny can go be played by everyone else. I don't need it. Still playing Forza, of course, as well, and that's fun. There was something else I wanted to, oh yeah, I will say, with the new dash, just be warned, if you get it and you're upgrading for it, that there are issues with the install and other stuff, that don't freak out too much, because during the install, it seemed to hard crash and give me an error, a system error. It was like E200 or something. And I was like, oh my God, did this thing just break my system? Because I was ready to lose it, but then I just did a hard reset of my Xbox One, and it went back into the install, finished, and I haven't had an issue since. I think there were reports of like black screens during install, which I don't know if that means a literal black screen or if it means that error specifically. But anyway, if you get any problem in terms of the display or an error like that, hard reset seems to fix all the problems. They even mentioned some of that stuff in the dashboard app, the new dashboard app, or the, not the new dashboard app, the, what is it? It's the thing where you are a tester, basically, the beta, I don't know, who cares, whatever. The one thing I still find really annoying, and I don't know where I'm able to find this list, if it's, I don't think it's been updated, but I would just like to be able to easily access it, the list of Xbox 360 games that are backwards compatible, because there's like a video that shows me how to do things, like how to play them or install them. Like, I don't care about that, and it seems to imply that to find out if a game's backwards compatible, I should just put it into my hard drive, and then if it's backwards compatible, it will work. If it's not, it won't work, because I don't know, whatever, that's stupid. But yeah, I'm enjoying the Battlefront beta so far, and continuing to enjoy to such a ridiculous degree Metal Gear Solid 5. Oh my God, the game is the worst thing in the world. And it's funny, I looked on my Xbox, the Xbox app on Windows 10 to see how many hours it has me listed as. And I know I've played the game for hundreds of hours. I don't know how many hundreds exactly specifically. But I do know that I've most definitely surpassed the 100-hour mark. Maybe I haven't reached 200, but how long I've had the game running in my Xbox One, it was, last time I checked, it was 738 hours, which is just, I didn't even think the game has been out that long. So that's crazy that it's been running that long. I should look at other games, because I'm trying to think of what other games I've had in there just running. Usually just, you know, I turn off the Xbox One, or I don't, and it's just in the background. That would be somewhat interesting. But I don't, there's no game that I've gotten as addicted to as Metal Gear Solid 5, and still am addicted to. Though I kind of want to go play Prototype, which I do own, because I bought it when it was on sale. I was like, I'm going to play this, and then Metal Gear Solid 5 came out, and I'm like, shit. Damn, I'm not going to play it anytime soon. But who knows when it'll be on sale again. And I don't think it'll ever release a retail version. But, yeah, that's all the game stuff. I also played, finally, Corpse of Discovery, which is a PC game. And it's one of those type of first-person adventure games, discovery games. And it's okay. I was surprised by how well done and how authentic the intro video was, where it's basically like a politician-esque press conference talking about how one of the astronauts has gone missing, or they've lost communication with them. So, you know, they don't know what's happening with this particular person, who you are. And then you eventually get into your body. And the thing I didn't like is that I felt at least that it wasn't the most, I didn't feel like a person. I felt like a floating head. I had no body or anything under me. When I was laying in bed, I just felt like I was a tiny floating head in bed. And that I wasn't actually attached to a person. And it wasn't that I was in a space station, because the physics didn't change really after leaving the space station, other than I could then jump and use the jetpack as I put on my suit. So yeah, that was weird, but it looks kind of okay, and it may have potential. I need to put more time into it, but it did seem a bit kind of, this is a popular genre that people like this type of game right now. Let's just do it. And I don't know if there's something in there that's unique that makes it worth checking out over other games or in addition to other games in the first person walking exploration adventure genre that has become so popular. Because it looks nice, but it doesn't look that nice. It's not like it's worth picking up just to see the visuals, because there are much better games in that sense. But, I mean, if you like space, then I don't know how many of those type of games are setting-wise. I mean, there's Lifeless Planet, but that's third person, which, I mean, that's not the biggest deal. But other than that, I can't think off the top of my head of other space-esque games. But that's pretty much it. So,
Inside Ninja Shing.
Anime, amazing. I went back and caught up with Owari no Seraph. What is it? What is the English title? Seraph of the End, Vampire Reign, which was one of the more hyped and talked about anime series of the spring season, I believe, and then it was split into two, so I think the second part of the season comes out October 10th, and I don't think it's a second season, it's a continuation in the same way that, like, Gate has been broken up into two, and, Norogami is a second season. But anyway, it's the vampire anime of recent note that people have been talking about, and the first thing that's super weird to me, just because it's the first show I've watched where this is the case. Every time I would start the show and see the Universal logo and all that, bum 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 bum, or what, I don't know, is that the Universal sound? Bum 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 bum. Is that, or is that 20th Century Fox? I don't know. But the Universal logo and intro and all that stuff starts every single episode. And that's just kind of weird to see that. Because it's like, is this like some big deal or something? Or is this like some, it's like all other anime, like indie, and this is the super commercial. It's just weird. I don't know. And there's another show this season. It's like a high school musical thing that has that I haven't watched. I put it on, and then I was like, I don't have time for this right now. But that was the first initial impression, was just, this is weird. Universal. But the show really grew on me. It started off a bit slow. At least the first episode kind of was really, really kind of meh. And then the end, all the shit that goes down at the end, I was like, damn, okay. And I don't even feel like I was exactly surprised by it. I was kind of expecting something like that to happen, but I wasn't expecting it to happen. I guess I probably wasn't expecting it to happen to such an extreme degree, and for it to be everyone. spoilers, kind of. I mean, if you're watching it, and yeah, just that saying everyone is probably enough to maybe give a hint of what's going to happen. But I was not expecting that to happen. I, you know, maybe like some would not have that happen to them, but no, they all have that happen to them. But yeah, after that happened, I was like, okay, you have my attention. I will continue to watch you. And then you watch as this group of young kids, I think probably 13-esque, they're being, and they're taught in school, so there's this divide of areas between where the humans live and then where the vampires live. there are humans where the vampires are, and they feed off them, and they're protected. And there's also these monsters, and your main protagonist, who is Yui? Is it Yui? Not Yuri. I think he just goes by Yu. And then his best friend who gets killed, you think that's spoilers, but whatever. I mean, that was kind of super obvious. I knew that was going to happen just because he's on the posters as an adult or as an older version of himself. And in the OP, so it was clear that he survived at least. But Mika and Yu, they were two. They kind of became best friends right at the moment when they were separated, because Yui is very kind of, he doesn't have the most warming, charming personality. He does care, but he's also not like super inviting. He's kind of off-putting to an extent. But he goes with the humans. He escapes. He's the only one who escapes successfully. And he gets recruited by this demon. It's this group of vampire hunters who take the power of cursed weapons through demons. And that allows them to kill vampires. They can only kill them with these cursed weapons. And then it just becomes this kind of intrigue between the vampires and the humans. And there's a battle at the end. It initially starts as just kind of like training. And it's all right. It gets better in the second half. The thing that was a bit annoying at first was just Yui being so, why am I being held back right now? Why can't you just give me my weapon right now? Just put me into the squad right now. I don't need to team up with anyone. I don't need to work as a team. I can do everything on my own. I don't like that type of personality personally. So that was a bit annoying, just him being so, he wouldn't shut up about that. But he does show his softer side at various points, and especially at the very end, you get him being like super thankful for what happens. Like the last three or so episodes were really strong. I thought it had a very strong end, and it, in part because it knew and the viewer knows that there was going to be a continuation of the season. I thought the end of the final episode was really good. So I thought it was a bit of a slow start, but it really picked up, and it had a very strong end of the season, of like the mid-season kind of end, with a nice tease for when the show comes back. So if you're into that, that's on Hulu and Funimation, I believe. I watched it on Funimation. I believe it's also on Hulu. So definitely check that out if you want to see a vampire-esque show with a decent amount of action. So that's the only show I caught up on, basically because it's starting this season, and then I watched a bunch of new fall anime. Let's see. I'm just going to go through these randomly. Dance with Devils? This is it. Once again, I will make note that I did not go into any of these shows mostly knowing anything about them. So I just played Dance with Devils because it was a new show. And I was like, okay, let's just put this in. And then we're introduced to this young girl and her mother. And her mother's, I think, an author. And she's got this charm around her necklace. And they're just like, I'm like, well, I don't know why I should care about these. I think it may have also started with like some very, very ominous kind of narration. I don't know if this is the show or not. And I was like, what the hell is this? And then it jumps to this more contemporary area, world. And you get the mother and the daughter. And you have the daughter walking to school. And then she starts singing. And I was like, this is a weird OP, but all right. And then she finished singing, and it just kind of went fluidly into the show again. And I was like, was that the OP? Or was she just singing for whatever reason? And she was singing very musical-esque type of song with lyrics that were like, oh, I'm don't have anyone right now, but maybe someday I'll find someone or whatever, blah, 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 blah. And then it continues, and one of the students there is like, well, what'd you do? What'd you do? The student council president, blah, 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 Mage or whatever his name is, who's super popular and super hot and all this stuff, he requested you and crap. And you're like, she's all like, what? I didn't do anything. This is not right. I didn't do a thing. And he's like, no, you have to go to the library, the student council area, whatever. She goes there, and when she opens their door, they all start singing like a boy band thing. And I was like, what the hell is going on? Why are they singing now? I kind of dig this song. Did I just stumble into some crazy, ridiculous musical? I think I kind of like this. And I was like, what is... I was super confused, too. I was like, what the hell is going on? Why am I constantly being berated by songs? And, like, her singing when walking to school was whatever. That was just kind of like, okay, that's a very fluffy musical type of thing. But, I don't know. Maybe that is the OP. I'm not sure anyway. But then when this song happened, and it was very kind of, it was cutting between the various guys and showing like hints of their personality, and they would occasionally sing in English too for certain words, and it was just, I don't know. I really liked that song too. Maybe I wouldn't if I listened to it again. But the problem is that first 8 or so minutes got me into the show a lot, because I was just kind of surprised that I thought I stumbled into a ridiculous musical, and then the music stopped after that second song, and it just became this kind of meh, fairly typical, seemingly unoriginal anime, potentially a reverse harem, and I'll give it some props for making me somewhat interested in the main character. I think her name is Shiki, or I don't know if that's her or not, but the main female protagonist, I was interested in her just because she had more of a backbone and more of a strong personality, and wasn't so like, oh, please help me, I need your help. Even though she does need help because of crap going on, but I like the fact that she at least had somewhat of a strong personality, and it might be in part because there's something weird going on with her charmed necklace where she's like shielded from things. But yeah, I don't know what to make of the show, because I don't understand the music part in the beginning, and if that's going to happen again more frequently or less frequently, or we're never getting that again. But that was weird. It was weird. I was super confused. I had to go back and watch that section again before continuing on with that, because I'm like, what? So I also watched One Punch Man, as I mentioned earlier in the show, only on Hulu and potentially Viz Media if they do streaming on their site. And I don't know what to make of the show, because there's been a lot of hype behind it. And I will say one thing. Like, it's super ridiculous, so I should love it for that. The animation is nice for the most part. I mean, just like the general animation is nice for the most part, but the action is, I was about to say incredible, but I think that might be putting it a bit too highly. It's fantastic. The action animation is just so well animated, so fluid. There's a lot of vibrancy and like kinetic energy to it, and it's gets super sketchy at times, and it just is like, it really feels almost, in a way, thrilling. I just like, it was super exciting whenever it was down and dirty in the action, and I really, really liked it. The action scene specifically. The rest of the show is kind of, it's just goofy and silly, and I like those kind of things, and I think I'll really like One Punch Man. But for some reason, I don't know if it was the mood I was in or whatnot, or if I was just like expecting to be blown away and for it to immediately become one of my all-time favorite shows because of how much positive buzz I've heard about it. But it was a really well-done show. like I said, the action is awesome. Super, super well done. Some of the best action out there. And funny, ridiculous enemies to beat up with one punch. And a funny kind of design for the main character, his face, in contrast to the rest of the show and how highly detailed everything else is. Though his face does get detailed at times when he's sort of getting serious. But yeah, definitely worth checking out. It's probably a lot better than my initial feeling was, just because of like super high expectations. And that's on Hulu. Only on Hulu. Super weird. Super weird. Let's see what else. I want to hit the full length series, and then I'll just touch on some of the shorts. I don't need to touch on all the shorts that I watched. So let me see what else there is that was a. Here's another one that I don't know any of the history of the older series. Like, there's a 1988 series, and I think there might have been older ones too. Mr. Osomatsu, or Osomatsu-kun. And I think this is kind of not so much a sequel, but sort of just bringing back this family, this very, this family from the Showa area. And the first episode had me, it may have been my favorite first episode so far this season, because it was just super funny and ridiculous and just parodying a lot of various anime tropes and literal shows. You have a Titan in there. You have them making fun of so many of the sports anime, like the bike one, Kokoro no Basket, Haiku, that volleyball one, and even stuff like Dragon Ball and Naruto. And I think there was even a spoof like, this is where I took it from, but maybe it's from something else, but even Virtual Fighter. So it was super crazy, because there are these very old-fashioned character designs, and it starts off in black and white, and they're basically talking about how they're coming back for their anniversary or something or other, but they need to be current. You know, they're not going to be popular nowadays, because anime has changed, so they need to change the way they do things. So they get new, not identities, appearances that are much more in line with what anime is like now, and they're just doing all these ridiculous things, and they kind of end up, after a while, reverting back to their old ways, and other characters from their anime who have very distinct physical characteristics show up with new styles, but they still have those really weird, like, giant puffy cheeks that basically look like they've got two bowling balls in the mouth, but in a very realistic style and stuff. It just was super ridiculous, fun, playful. It was self-aware. I was gonna say it broke the fourth wall, but I mean, it does, but in a way, but it's more self-aware is a better way of putting it. And I just had a blast with it. The problem is, they even make note of this at the end. This first episode may not be in line with the way the show is from episode 2 going on, because this was just kind of this crazy thing, and the rest of the show, the series, I assume, based on the end and just the fact that I don't see how they could keep doing this, it's going to follow this family with their original designs but now in color. And yeah, this first episode I think is both a good and bad thing, because it delivers something so great and funny and somewhat clever, but it's not in line with what the series will probably end up being from the next episode onward. But if they keep the self-aware aspect and just have fun with the anime genre, then I think it could still be a really, really kick-ass show this season. And I think there's potential for that, because the end credits had nothing to do with the current anime and stuff like what the episode was about. It was just sort of them realizing after a moment, it was like a moment of silence, and like, there's still a minute left. I mean, we need to fill time, so could you go do something? It's like, oh, why didn't you tell me this earlier? I had something so amazing. I could have done this, this, and this. And then time passes again. It's like, what, we're still on? Man, that was plenty of time for me to do what amazing thing I was going to do initially. Why didn't you tell me I had that much time? It's just like, oh, you. But I had fun with it. That's on Crunchyroll. What else was there that was a full one? I think that might... No, that wasn't it. What the heck? There's Beautiful Bones. Which Beautiful Bones, what is the subtitle? Beautiful Bones, Sakuraku's Investigation, which a lot of people are just calling the Bones anime. And I was surprised by it. It was funny to an extent, very pretty. What I liked about it a lot, one, the characters are all interesting enough. What I liked, and I'm assuming it's fairly accurate, is that it was somewhat informative and interesting in how it was talking about various parts of anatomy and like the human skull, and you have this butterfly bone in like the back of your head, which is very fragile and it's rare for it to stay intact, and being very sort of just informative without being stale, like having this more, not, it's, I don't, it's weird to say fun, but just more of a, it's not as weighty, maybe is okay term to put in there, but it was interesting. I'm interested to see where it goes from here, but the first episode didn't really have much in terms of mystery or like solving a murder or anything. She just basically goes, this main protagonist who's really into bones, and she comes from like a rich family. She goes with her friend-ish, sort of. I don't know what the relationship is. They even make note of how the relationship isn't. It's like she's not exactly a friend, but he's definitely not a boyfriend. So maybe like little brother type of thing or assistant. I don't know what. They never really put a label on it. But they go to the beach, and they're looking for bones and stuff. And she's like, when they're driving up there, he sees this shrimp shop or an ad for a shrimp shop. He's like, I want to have some shrimp. And she's says, well, I promise if you find some interesting bones or whatever, then we'll take you to the shrimp shop. And he fails to find stuff, and she points out how, like, oh, that's actually this is actually that, that's actually really crappy, that you just wasted everyone's time with that. Like, oh, he just wants his shrimp. And then he finds a human skull, and she's like in love with, I think, human anatomy and like finding human remains, because if you find human remains just lying around, most people are just like, okay, that's human remains. But she immediately assumes that it was via murder or something nefarious, because why would the human remains just be, who that just leaves human remains lying around, of course, right? So they find this human skull on the beach. He calls the cops. She's upset about that because she's like, no, they're going to try and take my skull away. This is my skull. She immediately takes ownership over it. But then the rest of the episode is about how, oh, yeah, this is actually a murder. They just think his skull showed up. And she's like, how do you know that? And he's like, well, we have to solve this murder. She's like, no, you don't. Just let me keep the skull. You're never going to solve this murder because it happened 100 years ago. Okay, so just leave me alone. She's like, no, we still got to report it. And then there's another case. And she goes there and says, oh, this is actually a murder. It's not a double suicide like you think it is. And this is why. And it's like, oh, interesting. So I'm learning how, if I ever find some dead bodies or remains, I'll be able to figure out if it was an actual suicide or murder or stuff like this, because now I know what happens when people drown or things like this, or when you're tying two people together and stuff. So that's interesting about it. But I just wasn't sure, when I look back and think about the episode, there wasn't really like a real strong conclusion of the episode. Basically just stumbles into these murders, but they're never solved or anything. She's just like, yeah, these are murders, whatever. Can I have my skull? Can we just leave? Okay, the end. And I guess more stuff will happen next week, but I don't know if there's going to be more of an investigation in future episodes, because this just felt like, hey, I like skulls, oh, that's actually a murder, this is a merger of murders. So that's my one concern, is that I don't, it wasn't like the strongest
if I look at the episode as its own story and whatnot, it wasn't the strongest. And then the last, I think this is the last full-length anime watch. I did try to watch Young Blackjack, and then I was just kind of thinking, well, maybe I shouldn't, having not watched the original series. And I was just like, whatever. And it just seemed stupid in the beginning. It's just like, this kid is just in the middle of the crossroads on the train tracks, and everyone's just looking at the kid, and I guess he's going to get hit, but nobody cares to just, you know, take the time to be like, hey, kid, get the hell out of there. Or actually grab the kid, because there was plenty of time. I also started watching Peepin' Life TV, and I was like, nope, this looks ugly as crap, and it looks like it's as worthless in terms of content and writing. But the other show I watched, which is, oh god, this title, Utawara Rumino, The False Faces, which is... The way I always looked at it when I was looking at the shows that were coming out this fall season was like, that's the one that has like some giant ass dude with a bird head. Okay. And it seems like it's definitely, knowing that it's a 24, 26 episode series, the first episode definitely felt just like, here's a setup. Here's an introduction to these characters. We'll show you some of these powers and what's going on in this world and stuff to some degree, but for the most part, there you still have a lot to learn. And yeah, it looks like it could be interesting, but it's definitely something that I need to put more time into. And I always look at stuff like that, the longer running series that are like 24 to 26 episodes, as deserving of more than just the 3-episode rule. I usually will give it a 6-episode rule, but like last season, I just ended up watching everything, even though I didn't like a lot of shows. But so far, I'm still overall pleasantly surprised by what I've watched. So now onto the shorts. I'm just going to make note of a few. There's some really weird ones. There's like Hackadile, the animation, which is just these three robot girls who end up getting sent to Earth to help people. And their first mission, they get sent to this kind of, I don't know if she was like an otaku girl, but they get sent to help her, and then they're just really crap at it. And of course, one of them is really eager to help. One of them is kind of, I don't know, I didn't really get a sense of her personality. And then one's really lazy and doesn't really give a rat's ass about anything. And they screw up and what else was there? There was this odd show, Tante Team KZ, whatever. It's like this KZ detective show where it's this girl and this group of four boys who are from the soccer team that start a detective team, I guess, but the detective aspect wasn't really in play in the first episode. It seems like since it was listed as part one, that'll be in the next episode where that really starts to come into fruition. But that was, it's okay, I guess. The thing I liked about it, and the only thing that really stands out about that show, is basically this girl is a very secluded person who's not, she's not really well versed in interacting with other people, or how to and how to make friends and be and all that crap. But these boys in the soccer team are all super popular and whatnot, and just like everyone wants to be their friend. And she did at first, but then after like running into them at the beginning of the show, she kind of lost her affinity for them. She's like, oh, these guys are just a bunch of idiots, I don't care about them anymore, I don't want to be their friends anymore. And then she gets stuck with them in this quote special class, and she's like, oh god, I used to want to be friends with these kids, but now I just think they're idiots. This is gonna suck because now I have to be stuck in this class with them and them alone. So I like that aspect, and see where that goes, because she also seemed to have a somewhat stronger personality than I was expecting, which was a nice little pleasant surprise. We'll see how that goes. There was Kagawani, which is this monster short, about like 7.5 minutes. And what stands out about that the substance of the show is just sort of this monster. It's like a Godzilla-esque thing, dinosaur-esque thing, which was like whatever. It's just sort of this like found footage and just watching as this one character is discovering this monster. But what sticks out about the show and what makes it worth watching, I think, alone is the animation style, which has a very kind of cutout comic booky feel to it. So it's like comic book art cut out and animated in that way. Not, it's not rotoscoping, so it's not, don't think of it in that sense, and it's not kinetic like a Dr. Katz or Home Movies or stuff like that. It's, I don't really know how to describe it exactly other than say cut out and stuff, but I really dig it for that because it's a unique art style. It's not something you see in a lot of anime or really any anime, so it was very pleasant to watch in that sense, and I'm excited to watch more of that. There, yeah. Other than that, the other one I want to talk about, I'll also mention, there's a show, Kumari-san Can't Say No or Deny Requests or something, which is really stupid. It was just about this girl with one of the most ridiculously large chests ever that had ridiculous physics, and it was just ridiculous. And it's just about how she can't say no to anyone, and there are all these like two girls who are like, maybe it's because of your face, here, put this mask on, nope, they still recognize you, must be because your height, go kneel down. It's like, oh nope, it wasn't that. And then it just kind of abruptly ends, and I'm like, oh, what the hell was that? But the other show I want to talk about, which I wasn't really expecting much out of, I don't know how I feel about it either. Lovely Muko, which is about this dog, and it's one of the worst shows of the season in terms of animation quality. It's very, very just kind of amateurish, and it's when I watch an anime and I'm like, I could find an app, download that, make this myself, and maybe even make it look better in a day's time. It's not the best looking anime, but the content was just kind of funny in the most ridiculous and stupid ways, because you're following this dog and it's just doing stupid things. Like, it keeps pulling at this thread on this towel, and it's just, what is this going on? And there's a point where it's like jumping around, prancing around, and then it jumps over this inflatable pool, and then it doesn't make the jump and it realizes it's going to fall in the pool. And it falls in the pool, and it's like, oh my god, it's so cold, it's so cold, it's so cold. And then it just kind of cuts to his face, everything goes silent, and it's like, I don't mind. And then you see the dog smile, and just like starts splashing, like, yeah, 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 yeah. And it reminded me, oddly enough, of when Jimmy Kimmel did that whole little skit, where I still think this was staged, but he had parents take away their kids' Halloween candy, and one of the clips, the kid was like, took away my Holloway candy, and then he paused. I was like, I don't mind, it's okay. And that's what that reminded me, because it was just like, oh my god, it's so cold, it's so cold, it's so cold, but I don't care. Splash, 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 splash. And then there's a point about halfway through where he realizes that his master isn't another dog. He's like, wait, our faces are not the same. You don't have a tail. What is going on? And it's just really silly and stupid. And then there's a point where one of the master's friend comes over to help him with his website, because he's like a glass blower and makes like glassware and stuff. And he comes to take pictures, and he takes pictures of Muko. And the pictures he takes of the dog are really kind of, he always looks bored or sleepy or just not like himself, because he's this super happy, silly dog. But when the master takes pictures of him, he's always got the greatest expression on his face and has so much personality. And the guy who actually has the camera and brought it and is taking the pictures and knows all about technology and everything and can't understand why he can't get a good picture, just keeps getting shitty pictures, and it's really frustrating to him. And then Muko sees the pictures that the friend took, and he's like, what? Why were you taking pictures of some other girl? And why didn't anyone tell me there's another girl dog here? It's like, what is going on? Why didn't you take pictures of me? Why are you wasting time taking pictures of this other dog? Because the dog the way he looks in those pictures is so unlike Muko and his happy personality and demeanor. But that was just some silly, dumb fun. That was pretty much it. Still have a few shows to watch and whatnot. But yeah, hopefully this time I made a bit more sense than when I last heard about the anime. But yeah, still so far pleasantly surprised. Most of the shorts are kind of not so great. But I don't remember them being that great last season either. But overall, initial impressions, I'm way more excited about the fall season than the summer season. So that's at least a positive. But that will do it for today's episode of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. Once again, I am your host, Mark Cugenez. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Xbox Live, at PX Sausage. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com. If y'all want to check out another great podcast that's all about the video games, check out Pixelated Radio, which you can also find on pixelatedsausage.com. You can also check out the Signed In Podcast at signedinpodcast.com. If you like racing, check out the racing podcast, Sports Car Unleashed, at scunleashed.com. And then, of course, if you're into nonsense, check out Undercover Unitards at undercoverunitards.com. And if you want to leave a comment or anything, have a question for the show, comment on the post for this here episode, email the show, psp@pixelatedsausage.com. Of course, you can tweet at me, or you can leave a voicemail, 312-772-5874. And what else was there? Oh, yeah. If you haven't already, I would be so appreciative if you went to iTunes to subscribe to the show, rate it, and review it, because that really does help keep it high up in the rankings and all that jazz. So that does help. You know, just search for the Pixelated Sausage Podcast in iTunes. And, like, I mean, I know people who have been listening to it for a long time, and as far as I know, they still haven't ever done that. So just take a few minutes to do that, because it would be really helpful, and I can't even express how appreciative I would be if you did that. And of course, if you like the show, keep listening to it. But, you know, maybe tell your friends about it. Share the show. Share the love. Share the love. Okay. Bye-bye.